Hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Tree of Life Church podcast. It's our prayer that these messages help connect you to the life, love, and power of Jesus.
I just want to encourage you, let's just lock in and just put ourselves in remembrance of the blood of Jesus, because there's not a resurrection if there's not a crucifixion. Something has to die before it can be raised to life. And so everything that we're going to talk about and look about, everything that we know in the scripture tonight we share, is to remind us of the price he paid so we could live free. And therefore, it should help us, inspire us, motivate us to live like we are thankful. Amen? Not that we're living in perfection. We don't have to be perfect because he was the perfect sacrifice. But if we received the benefit of it, we should live like we've received the benefit of it. And I think Friday, Good Friday services is a reminder for you and I that our freedom didn't come cheap. He paid a high price for you and I. And we should be forever grateful. And the way that we honor that is how we live our life. And so we'll get into that in just a minute. But I do want to share a few things coming up this weekend, just because I know that we all need to be aware, because we're all a part of what's happening here. Just as a reminder, well, first of all, let me thank everybody that participated in our 24-hour prayer time. That, man, are you here? Are you home sleeping now? Maybe it's like, not. Yesterday, my wife said, "What time did you sign us up for?" I said, 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. And she's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah." And so we did last night in the living room on the couch, late before the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. We prayed. But I thank everybody that took time, whether you signed up or not, to pray, because nothing happens without prayer. And so we're just excited. We know all that. Wednesday night, we had time of prayer. Tomorrow morning at 9, we have a time of prayer. And also tomorrow, we have our egg hunt that we're going to just extra love on families that have a family member with special needs. And so I just want to encourage you guys, it's not too late to invite somebody. I would say just have them come. And we're just really looking forward to being a tree alive to the lost and hurting world around us. And so that's tomorrow. And so tonight, maybe as you wrap up and you're putting the kids to bed, before you go to bed, you just say an extra prayer for tomorrow. Amen. And then on Sunday, of course, come on, are you ready for Sunday? Resurrection Sunday. I'm like, it's finally here, right? It's like you set that date out and you're so excited, and now it's arrived. And I hope I can sleep Saturday night because of the excitement. But we have one service, an outdoor service. We knew several months ago, we felt impressed to the Lord that there was no way that we would fit everybody that would come Easter Sunday inside in two services. We're getting close to filling this room already on second service on Sundays. And certainly some of our kids' rooms get filled up, and we're having to add, we need extra manpower. If you're looking for a place to serve, what a great place to serve. Invest that next generation. And so we felt led of the Lord to plan an outdoor service. A lot of logistics happen in that. And so I'm so thankful for our volunteers, our teams, everybody, our staff that's working really hard. But I want you to know that we are ready for an incredible Resurrection Sunday. And can I just say right off the bat, the weather is going to be amazing. Yep. I mean, I was praying for it. Oh, we're going to have water baptism tomorrow, right now, maybe a little right now. We may go back into worship because my notes just got soaked. There's no way to recover from that, right? And just move on. Just act like it didn't happen and move on, right? It's just what you do. I don't see these guys up here right now. I'm just not even gonna look at them. We are so excited. Where were we? I don't even know where we were, but we are gonna have water baptism. So just so you know, amen. So get signed up to be water baptized afterwards. But the weather's perfect, and we're excited. So we have a special event for all the kids. 0 to 4, we have children's ministry for your 0 to 4-year-olds, and then all the kids from kinder to fifth grade, I believe, that we have a special service. Epic Ministries is coming with a big event outdoor, Easter celebration. It's going to be outdoors as well. And so I'm telling you what, if your kids miss it, they're going to be, everybody's going to be talking about, hey, you weren't here last week, and then they're going to be upset with you. And why didn't we go Sunday? And so get your kids here, get the neighbor kids here, get everybody you know with their permission here. And make sure you get permission, and come and enjoy that. And then invite people. You still have time between now and Sunday morning to invite people to an Easter resurrection celebration. And I just hope that we just are able to just create an amazing environment for people to have their own resurrection experience. Amen? Because that's really what it's all about. And we'll talk a little bit tonight based on, you know, the crucifixion and what that means for the resurrection. And so thank you guys. Can we just thank these guys for helping me out? So, I'm honestly surprised it hadn't happened before. I mean, I'm super proud it's taken this long for that to happen, to be honest with you. And so we are really excited. So can I just say, come early Sunday? Because if you can imagine so many people coming at one time with one service to get kids checked in and to get over to the areas that we have the services. So just come a little early. We're going to have a coffee shop's going to be open. The cafe is going to be open. Maybe you invite your friends and neighbors to come a little early and you're going to buy them some breakfast and a cup of coffee while you wait, get the kids checked in and stuff. So understand you're going to want to watch the parking area too. We'll have places and signs and people out there helping you park and then get your seat. And so plan on coming a little early, but I'm really excited. I just think that God's just doing something amazing, and I'm thankful that we get to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. All right, I guess I better get to my message before I knock something else over or whatever that is. But Good Friday service, we started this a few years ago, and you know, as other churches are doing it for sure, and everybody has to do what they feel God has put in their heart to do. But I just really felt impressed one year, coming off of 21 days of prayer, that prayerfully consider a Good Friday service to take the time to invite people out to just put us in remembrance of what price Jesus paid for all of us. As much as we celebrate the resurrection, understand it doesn't happen unless there's a crucifixion, unless there's something that dies to self, dies to this world, and then is risen again in him. And so we're going to look at a few things tonight for just a short time about the crucifixion. I want to be always very careful. Because we have a family service, so you have your kids in here and stuff. It can really get graphic. I don't typically do that. I won't tonight. But I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that this is real, and this really happened to Jesus. And he really went all in for you and I, and all the pain and all the things were intentional. He needed to experience those so you and I could walk in the freedom. Had it not been perhaps the most horrific way to die, I don't know that it would have had its full meaning as God intended for our absolute freedom. And I think, honestly, the timing of everything was partly where the Roman Empire at that time had created the most horrific ways to kill people, take people's lives. And so I believe that's part of why Jesus came at that time, so he could experience absolutely the worst possible so you and I can have absolutely the most freedom. And so we won't get into all the graphic details of that, but I think there's some things that will be a blessing to us tonight as we walk through it. And in fact, I want to start reading for you in John 6:15. Turn to John, I think it's John 6. It might be John 9. It might have gone upside down because of the wet. 15, John 6:15. Let's take a look there for real quick. It's on the screen for you. Jesus, knowing that he intended to come and make, that they intended to come and make him king by force. Listen to that. People were coming trying to make Jesus king by force. He withdrew again to a mountain by himself because it wasn't his time to be king. And people at that time had a different understanding about his kingship or lordship. That everybody was looking for an outward experience or an outward kingdom. And Jesus came to set us free from the inside out, not from the outside in. And isn't that interesting? Because that is still the issue for a lot of people today, right? People want to look and see what Jesus can do for me out in my circumstances. Can you make my life better? Can you make this go away? Can you add this to my life? And Jesus wants to come and set people free on the inside and give them the ability then to change the circumstances around about them. Because if things happen externally first, they don't always get internal. Or if they're external, they're based on external circumstances. But Jesus didn't come to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. He came to set you free from the inside out. Not free you from every changing circumstance in your life, but if he can free you from the inside out and change your destiny and give you an authority greater than your own, then you can walk out a victorious life no matter the circumstances you find yourself in. And therein lies the power of the crucifixion. In the scripture here, we see Jesus had just performed an amazing miracle again. And this is like the second time everybody gathered around and wanted to force him to make him king. But he knew his mission. He knew why he was here on the planet. And so he stayed focused on that. It wasn't his time yet. In fact, if you keep reading in John past this, you'll get to John 11. And in John 11, Jesus raises Lazarus, his friend, from the dead. And so on the journey up leading to the night that Jesus is taken, we come across this one story where Jesus, one of his good friends, perhaps his best friend, had passed away. He hears he's going to go and see him. And he tells his disciples, he's just sleeping. And his disciples say, well, if he's just sleeping, why go? And it's like, Jesus has got, have you guys been walking with me for a while yet? And because the reason why they were concerned is because they tried to kill Jesus the last time Jesus was in this area, the religious crowd tried to kill him. So Jesus, however, interestingly, says, I'm going to go see Lazarus. And then on the way, he meets his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, and they're grieving, and it's too late. If you would have been here, but he's already dead. And Jesus is just like, no, he's sleeping. Let's go see him. And Martha tries to stop him when he says, roll the stone away. She's like, well, he's been in here like 4 days. It's not going to be good in there. And Jesus is like, no, just leave. And he calls Lazarus forth, and Lazarus is resurrected back to life. You know what I think is interesting in that story to me is if you study the scripture out, the natural flow leading to the crucifixion of Jesus and then the resurrection, Lazarus' resurrection started all the dominoes to fall. I mean, when Lazarus was resurrected, the scripture goes on to say this, that so many other Jews believed in Jesus. It was like, can you imagine someone being raised from the dead, the people that would come, okay, yeah, he's real. That's really him. He's God. Okay. I mean, I wasn't really sure about that dead coming back to life thing. I'm in, right? So he comes to life, resurrected life, and everybody all of a sudden is just like saying, hey, he's the real deal. He's going to be the king. And then it starts to spread like wildfire. Well, the religious crowd, can you imagine the religious crowd being upset that someone had got their life back? There's always one of those in every group, right? It's like, seriously? You see everything negative? And so Lazarus is resurrected, and then all of a sudden the religious crowd is upset. And then the Bible says, after the resurrection of Lazarus, so many more Jews believed and wanted to make him king, and the religious leaders in that moment plotted to kill him. Everything started in motion. It's not lost on me that the resurrection story of Jesus begins with the resurrection of Lazarus. And maybe it's because Jesus in that moment is telling you and I and anybody would listen, and for all eternity, he is concerned about bringing life back to the one. Because what we need to know today is we're not just one of all of humanity, and we get lost in the shuffle, and he doesn't even know my name. No, that's not it at all. Jesus wants to resurrect every person on the planet and give them new life again. And I'm thinking, here's Jesus, Lazarus is resurrected, showing me that he's concerned about every individual life, bringing them back to life. But he did it while he was living. He brought one, he brought a few, but in this moment, he brought one to life while he was living, but he brought all of humanity to life in his death and the crucifixion. Because the beauty of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus then, it enabled all of us to find resurrected life, not just one. So he has a resurrected life for every individual on the planet. And in his death, it enabled you and I to experience that. And really, it was the only way. Because sin had come into the world through Adam, and so we know that the only way to bridge the gap between a sinful humanity and a holy God is a sacrifice, and Jesus alone was the perfect sacrifice. And here's what I also think in this moment we need to remember. He came to earth 100% God, yet 100% man. And so when we look at this story in just a minute, when I read some scripture for you, look at it through the lens of his humanity and not his deity. Because it's his humanity that had to suffer and die to be the sacrificial lamb for you and I. Because as much as we'd like to be, we're not 100% God and 100% man. We're something better now, right? We're sons and daughters of God, but yet we still live out life on this earth, walking in a kingly authority. But we didn't come from heaven. Let me say it that way. We didn't come from heaven, but Jesus did. But he had to live out his humanity in a way that presented him as the perfect sacrifice. So for you and I to experience that, we need to look at the humanity part of Jesus to relate. And so what he experienced and what we see in the scripture, we need to remember is it's his humanity that paid the price. His deity paid the price just from coming to earth. Do you believe that? Really, I got to leave heaven and go to that place right there? That's a big sacrifice already. But it's his humanity that he laid down for us. And I think that's powerful. I think that's powerful. And we'll look at that. I'll explain that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself now. And turn the pages here. I want to get to my scriptures. John 12:12-16. Here's what it says. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival that Jesus heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So now Lazarus has come back from the grave. He's alive. Jesus is now heading into Jerusalem. And here's Jesus' intent. Now you've been trying to force me to be king, the king that you think I should be. Now I'm going to come and be king. It's now time. Things have started in motion. So Jesus then enters Jerusalem. We know this would be kind of a Palm Sunday thing. So they took palm branches, went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. All the people are shouting this. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it as it is written, it was prophesied. Do not be afraid, daughter. Zion, see your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified, only after Jesus was resurrected, did they realize these things had been written about him and these things had been done to him. And don't you ever just wonder why Jesus, he's constantly telling him he's gonna die. He's constantly telling them the temple have to be destroyed in 3 days. It'll be raised again. He's constant, and we're the same way. I mean, I feel bad for those guys, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm that guy, right? I mean, it's like, it's after the fact, oh, I see what he was doing right then. I see why he was telling me not to go there, not to do that, not to hang out with them. I see what he was trying to tell me. I didn't see it in the moment, but after the fact, we see it. And so here they're now realizing after Jesus is resurrected from the dead, all this is really literally meaning, because they were just like everybody else. Why aren't you just going to be the king? Why aren't you going to overthrow the Roman occupiers? And again, because our first inclination is to overthrow everything externally trying to oppress us. I want to overthrow the addiction trying to oppress me. I want to overthrow the depression. I want to overthrow the mental stuff. I want to overthrow the relationship pain. I want all of that overthrown. I want you to throw all that off me, Jesus. And Jesus is like, I got you, but I got to have it from the inside out. And so here we have him coming through into the town, into Jerusalem, and he's right, and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna is a phrase that literally means save now, save now. And it doesn't mean what you think. It doesn't mean like save our souls. I need to be saved and my salvation. They're not even understanding the dynamic of from the inside out. They're again looking only exclusively at the physical saving. Get rid of, we just talked about it, get rid of the Roman occupiers, restore Israel to where it was. Because people were desperate. Verses 17 and 18 say this. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And so they continued to talk about Lazarus's resurrection. And many people, because they heard that he performed the sign, went out to meet him. Again, the resurrection of Lazarus was kind of the thing that sparked, although I believe it was God's sovereign plan, but it was one of the things that began to set things in motion. And I think it's interesting then that it was the resurrection of the one that led to the resurrection of Jesus, therefore the many that began those things to happen. And so I wonder sometimes if we wonder, I wonder sometimes if we wonder why he's not overthrowing the outside external things in our life. And it's like, and I think this whole scenario is being played out in the crucifixion. I think it can be get lost in the graphic things and details. I think we have to focus on this idea of what the crucifixion did for you and I as resurrect us spiritually. That spiritual inside of us being changed forever. When we say yes to Jesus, we're buried in him, the Bible says, and we're resurrected in new life to him. So you and I have to come to a place where our own will dies, for our life to be resurrected in him. So, because there's a lot of times we're asking God to bless what our will wants, right? We're saying Hosanna to what our will wants. Save us now. And we're meaning mostly things based on our circumstances and external things. And we can easily miss the work that he wants to do on the inside so we can live it. So can I say it this way? So you and I can then overthrow the external circumstances anytime they happen. Or maybe we should say it this way. So you and I can live victoriously and not get occupied by the external things. And that's what Jesus has always been about. But we live our life looking at the temporary instead of the eternal. The crucifixion, though, points us to the eternal. And I want to encourage you in that this morning, right? How many times did you come in and say good morning to people? I did it all day. I mean, all morning, right? How many times? So, okay. All right. So, Hosanna, where was I? Okay, so understand this, though. This was always God's plan. So many prophecies are fulfilled and the crucifixion of Jesus. I don't know if you know that. We focus on all the prophecies fulfilled at Christmas, right? Well, I mean, we talk about that all the time. That's one of the favorite things to talk about at Christmas time. But I don't know if you know this, but so many prophecies, a third of the messianic prophecies were fulfilled in the crucifixion. And let me give you a few, kind of as we build our story. Zechariah 9:9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey." This was prophesied that the Messiah would come on a donkey. Now, here's the reason why that's important, because a conqueror would come on a war horse, but a Messiah would come on a donkey, which would signify peace. So when they would see him, he's now deciding, I'm gonna reveal that I am the king, but I'm not the king that they're looking for. I'm not the king that people are looking for. I'm something more. And I think that's what's lost on the world today. And we're looking for something outwardly. We're looking for something spectacular. We're looking for something extravagant. And he wants to come and bring peace. That passes understanding. And so all of a sudden, they're putting palm leaves down and they gotta be thinking, wait, is this the guy that raised Lazarus on the donkey? I mean, I really expected a little bit more, to be honest with you, right? I mean, the whole, I thought he'd be taller, right? Or whatever. He's coming on the donkey and they're putting palm leaves down and all of a sudden they're doing their little shout and chant and things are starting like, I thought he was gonna come and overthrow. I thought he was gonna come and lead us to freedom. And he is, but they're missing it because they can't see beyond their external, and he is gonna come and bring freedom internally. And so the donkey signifies that I'm coming to bring peace from the inside, not the outside. Because they knew even with this Messiah coming on a donkey, he didn't look like the one that was gonna overthrow things externally. And so at some point in time, seeing that, and now wanting it to be different and yet seeing it become something of peace instead of something of conquest, they began to turn on him. That's how they went from Hosanna to crucify so quickly. Jesus was coming not to put on a crown of gold, but to put on a crown of thorns. And I wonder if we're looking for crowns of gold. And it's not that we're looking for crowns of thorns, but maybe that's what our experience will be. Not from the standpoint of pain, but from a standpoint of needing to overcome ourselves. I think the greatest victory that the crucifixion gives you and I, and we know it's for all of humanity that would say yes, but it's really the one that begins inside of us. It's the moment Jesus is in the garden and he is praying and they've come and taken him already after the Last Supper, and they've come in that moment. He went three times to pray. He took all of his disciples to the garden. He took three, Peter, James, and John apart, and he said, I'm gonna go pray. You stay here. He prays, comes back, prays, comes back, prays, comes back three times. He liked to do things in threes. And one time he gets upset and he goes, can you even pray for 1 hour? Can you even tarry for 1 hour? And I thought about that. I thought, I had 1 hour, 12 to one, and it was hard. I can shower for an hour, easy. I can eat for an hour, but to pray for an hour, right? He said, and that moment, and what he's doing is he's showing us he's wrestling with his own humanity, right? The human part of him, he's wrestling with his own humanity, and he's coming to that place of overwhelming suffering. He knows what's gonna happen, and he's wrestling with that. And it says then, all of a sudden, he settled that because he said, not my will, but your will. He came to a place that his will had to die. But I want to say this tonight, in this example of Jesus on his way to the crucifixion, let's not lose sight of there is suffering in life, and the way out of our suffering is for our own will to die first. I think the more you struggle with your suffering, maybe it's because you're wanting one way and God has another way. But the moment you come to this place and you say, and I believe this is what this story shows us, not my will, but your will, then it's not that you're delivered necessarily from your suffering, because the circumstances haven't changed, but what I believe in surrendering of your will, it brings the strength of God. And your situation and circumstances may still be the same, and Jesus' situation and circumstances did not change, but the strength of the Lord came to him when he surrendered his will in the midst of suffering. And I think if we don't understand what's happening here, we can miss an hour moment of suffering, because we all experience that to some extent. maybe our starting point is, again, a surrendering of our will, and then the strength of the Lord comes when we humble ourselves. And then it's not we're delivered from the circumstances that created the suffering, but we're delivered from the pain of it. And then we can walk through it. See, he may not deliver you from your suffering, but he'll give you the strength to walk right through it. And so in this story, as we go, as Jesus continues on, and he comes to this moment, he has a night where he has the Last Supper, and then after the Last Supper, he leaves, and he's in the garden, and they're taking him, and it's about midnight when he's arrested, and now they're taking him. And I don't know if you know this, but he actually was crucified at 9 a.m., so about midnight he was taking. So from midnight to 9 a.m., a lot of things happened, and they happened in a very short period of time. In fact, he was on trial 6 times from midnight to 8:30 a.m., 6 times. You can't even get a court date for a year around here, right? He's on trial 6 times. He's on trial 3 times with the Jewish leaders, 2 high priests and the Sanhedrin council. And then he's on trial 3 times, Pilate. Then Pilate didn't want anything to do with him, who's the governor of the area. He turns him over to Herod, who Herod's like the regional director. He doesn't want anything to do with him. It goes back to Pilate. So he has 3 trials with the Jewish leaders, and they all 3 trials find him guilty of blasphemy. And then he has 3 trials with Pilate, Herod, and Pilate, the Roman leaders, if you will, and they all find him innocent. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes it's the Christian crowd that's the toughest, right? Because it was the heathens that found no fault in him, but it was a religious crowd that wanted his life for blasphemy. You ever felt that way? Don't raise your hand. So Jesus on his journey then, as Pilate says famously, I find no fault in this man. And then he turns him over for crucifixion. And in that time, just the terrible story, the scripture talks about all the things that happened to him, the beatings that we know the story. We don't want to get graphic. All the pain that he took, the crown of thorns that was put on his head, that wasn't just laid on his head, was pushed down on his head. The beatings, the scourgings. The Bible talks about he was scourged, meaning he was whipped, but it wasn't just a whipping. It was a tearing of the flesh. Again, I want to be mindful of the people in here tonight, but understand something. When you look at historical writings and you look at biblical writings, you will not find, or you'll have, yeah, I don't know that you could. I've done some research. I've listened to some people. People aren't scourged and crucified. They don't experience both those things. It's one or the other. Jesus, the Bible says, was scourged, and he was crucified. Jesus experienced the most horrific of circumstances so you and I could live free. And then in that moment that Jesus went to the cross and he was crucified and nailed to the cross, and it says at some point in time, the skies grew black, and for about 3 hours, and it's believed by many people it was that moment in time that there was that separation from God and Jesus. And I would submit to you tonight that it wasn't the divine part of him that was separated. It was the humanity part that was separated from God. Because I believe that to be so, because I believe because that's the humanity part of him is the lamb, the sacrificial lamb that had to come and live as a man perfectly to die for our sack. It couldn't be any, if it was the divine part of him, that wouldn't be fair for you and I, because we couldn't be divine like that. But he experienced it all as a separation in his humanity, because we know what that's like and can be like to be separated from our heavenly Father after we've walked with him. And it was this moment of separation in his humanity that made me think and realize in reading the story, it was his humanity when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't the divinity part of him that said, my Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the same time, I believe for you and I, there's moments in our life and pain that we experience that we wonder in our humanity where God is, but because we know we're a son of the living God, that we're still connected spiritually to him, that no matter what I'm experiencing externally in my physical body and my physical mind, and I may at times and have at times said, my God, where are you?
But in that very moment, my spirit man is still connected with my God because I said yes to Jesus and I was changed and transformed from the inside out. So no matter what I'm experiencing outwardly, I still have him inwardly. And that we cannot forget. And we cannot lose sight of. And that's why a service like this is so important, because it's easy for us to get then to settle into our lives again and live from the outside instead of from the inside. And then in our moments, our tragic moments, we cry out for God. He's there, but he's always been there. And he's always given us the ability to live from the inside out because Jesus paid the price so we can be resurrected in him spiritually. I love the story. Every time I study it, there's something fresh, something new in there, because that's the Bible, right? That's the Bible. And then we know as to finish out the story, and Jesus dies, and so many prophecies are fulfilled, and it's amazing. It talks about everything has been already, most everything's been prophesied, and at the very end, there's a prophecy that says no bones will be broken, and when people were crucified in that day, some could live for 4 days, if they were just left to themselves at that. So the Jewish leaders asked for legs to be broken because that's where they would push themselves up to grab a breath. And so if the legs were broken, they would die quicker. And so when they came to do that with Jesus, they did it to the thief on the left, they did it to the thief on the right. But when they came to Jesus, the Bible says he was already dead because he gave his life away already. The Bible prophesies that no bone would be broken in him. So they took a spear and put it in his side, and the Bible prophesies in Psalm that he would be pierced. And blood and water came out, and medical people would say, and you can look at medical journals, you can do the research yourself, but medical people would say blood and water came out because he had a cardiac rupture, which means not a heart attack, which means he just literally died of a broken heart. The physical separation, the humanity, but he did it for you and I. He experienced the worst of the worst so we could live and the best that he has for us. And so he was taken, and we know the story that he was put in a grave, an empty tomb, and we know a few days later he rose again, which we will celebrate on Sunday, and resurrection power. And we who have said yes to Jesus were buried with him, the Bible says, and we were risen with him in power, resurrection power. Amen? And that is the good news. But there's not a resurrection without a crucifixion. There's not a brought to life again without a death, the death of your own will, of doing things your way, of your want, will, desire. It's the death of your plan and purpose, and it's a yielding and surrendering and saying, not my will, but your will, God. And even in the darkest of hours of your life, in the greatest pain and the greatest suffering, and the times where you may cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is always there because you're his child. You're his son, you're his daughter. And you have experienced a resurrection. See, and then the story concludes with the resurrection of Jesus, and we'll celebrate that on Sunday. But I believe for the sake of tonight, it began with the resurrection of one man, and it ends with the resurrection of mankind. Or all who would call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's why this is a good Friday for you and I.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We pray that this message encouraged and inspired you. If you want to find out how you can be a part of Tree of Life, just go to our website, treeoflifechurch.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend.